Episode 75. Oh shit me! 75.
Congratulations, you mathed. Welcome to the Can Laughter Tennis Tournament. Practicing his serve is Mark.
You think those are extra tennis balls in my pocket, but I have rather inflamed testicles.
And screaming, that was never out, this whole game is rigged! At the umpire is me, Steph. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steph.
How's it going?
It's going very well. It's very hot in the city.
You just taken to calling it the city
the
now,
city,
as if
yeah.
there's only one. I fucking hate you. I hate you and all your kind.
And what we stand for now.
No, not what they stand for. They were never better than that. You were. You changed. Went to the city.
Well, if I was still in Leeds, I'd be calling that the city. But no, it's like, and I regret wearing a hoodie because in the morning it's like a slight morning chill to the air. But by early afternoon, it is sweltering. And then you have to ride the tube full of hot people. Not hot people, but sweaty
heat
people.
Hot. Heat yeah. hot.
Heat hot. Not attractive hot.
Although occasionally, maybe?
Have
you ever come across someone attractive on the tube? I have to admit, I never have, but
no.
I don't go on the tube that often.
I did think that Richard Madden from Game of Thrones sat next to me on a tube once. Obviously, I was looking straight ahead, no eye contact with anyone. And...
Yeah.
A guy sat down, he had the brown facial hair, stubble, designer beard thing going on, and short, curly-ish brown hair. And I could hear through my, what I was listening to, a podcast or something I was listening to, he had a Scottish accent. I was like, holy shit, King of the North is sitting next to me right now. I should say something. I should, like, turn around and be like, I love you in Game of Thrones. Sign my face. And
right.
As
you're
I always
not allowed near celebrities again.
And as I
no
always carry a
go,
pen with me, that
sign
is feasible.
My face.
Yeah, I always carry
sign
a pen with me, so it's a feasible, feasible thing that can happen.
I think at that point he pulled the emergency stop cord. Oh my god!
Dive out of one of the windows and just run.
I love you in Game of Thrones. Sign my face. My face. Don't you leave. Don't you look at me. You just sign.
And he was talking to some other guy, and I was like, oh, I don't really want to interject. I don't want to be that guy that interjects into his conversation and goes, pay attention to me, I'm a massive fan of yours. And I couldn't really, like, just look directly 90 degrees to my right to double check to see if it was him. So I was trying to use, like, because that's obviously weird if you suddenly do the whole, oh, it's not you. But I was like, I'm trying to, like, use the reflections of the glass to my advantage to see if I could spot if it was him or not. But obviously, two windows from a seated position cut off a reflection at the neck. So he's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I don't know if it's him. And when I finally got to my stop and I got off, I turned around. I was just really disappointed because it wasn't him. I spent, like, 20 minutes sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to say hello to Richard Madden. I'm going to say hello to Rob Stark. Oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to actually have a proper celebrity story. But it wasn't him.
No.
But then it got me thinking. Because, like, 2 weeks prior to that, I thinking about it now, they could have been taking selfies, but the angle of their phone suggested otherwise. I think a couple of girls on the tube were taking pictures of me, and I was wondering if maybe they'd mistaken me for a celebrity.
What celebrity would they mistake you for?
I do look quite a bit like Elijah Wood, and a tiny bit like Daniel Radcliffe, which is how I got the unfortunate nickname in year 11 as Frodo Potter. But, you know, it could have happened. I mean, I don't know. I think someone said I looked like someone off Emmerdale once, so there could be celebrities out there that I've not seen that look like me before. And I got to wondering, like, because obviously I actually saw them potentially taking pictures of me. How many other people have mistaken me for a celebrity? That's one of, like, the little numbers, little metric pieces of data that I'd like to take away from this life. But I have no way of calculating because
I'm genuinely hoping that at the end of your life there comes a point where, and this is how many, and it's just zero. No one recognises you. You know why? Because you have a beige face.
You die and you get your high scores for life.
Yeah.
It's like, no one recognises you as a celebrity.
You'll have a high point in masturbation just before your 21st birthday and that's it.
Yeah, just the ticker got to 999999 and couldn't clock over to a million. It's just it's one of those sad cases. But it did get me thinking, because obviously I'm sitting next to this guy for 20 minutes on the tube thinking he's Robb Stark. Like, how many people have, like, mistaken me for a celebrity? And it's just like, oh, who's going to do that? Like, who might do that?
I wonder if, like, and not that you're not a true Londoner now, but if actual Londoners are just used to it and just go, yeah, it probably isn't, because there's a lot of people in London. And I'm betting, yeah. I'm guessing a lot of them wouldn't ride the tube. For the reason that they wouldn't want to get recognised by a tube full of people and not have an escape route. Now, I'm just, you know, it's a very big, very important show, is Game of Thrones. Well, I'm just thinking that I doubt that he would ride the tube.
Actually, there was a very famous picture of him in the Metro, of all gracious publications, of him looking really sad on the tube. And they posted that picture. Well, they posted so internet.
Are you sure it was him?
It was definitely him.
Did they check? Because it could have been that looky likey. This
was definitely Robb Stark.
Were you sat next to him? He was like,
and I hadn't realised at that point. I'm just on my phone.
Casually looking at
Robb
Stark.
But no, because they posted the picture of him looking sad on the tube just after, and skirting spoilers, Series 3, Episode 9 had aired. It was the day after it aired. And which the headline was a spoiler for that episode. And it's just like, and it's just a picture of him looking really sad on the tube, talking about him being the King of the North. and obviously everyone's furious because they've had Game of Thrones ruined for them. Yeah, and then that also links into that picture then got reposted like 8 months later on some, I assume, woman's Tumblr of men who take up too much space on the tube. And it's basically a lot of pictures of men sitting with their legs fairly wide open.
But you've got to cool your junk.
Yeah,
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not, you know.
And it's one of those things, like, if a man started a Tumblr and it was women who take up too much space on the tube, and it's just a picture of a woman with a shitload of shopping bags in the next seat, which I've seen a lot of times, that would be like, oh, it's so sexist, because like all these women are rallying around going, oh yeah, men take up all the space on the tube, aren't they fucking cunts? And it's like, no, we're not. It's just because you can sit there with your legs all tiny and together and shuffled off to one side, making it look like you're some kind of tube victim. And we're there because we have the space, because you're shuffled off, leaving us with a 1.5 seats of tube.
You say tube victim?
Tube victim, yeah.
Is that a new term you're coining?
I've come up with a lot of new terms. In fact, because
right, I'm going to say that you've been in London too long. I think you need to get out.
I need to, because I'm getting so pissed off because I have to do a lot of walking about at rush hour time, so like 5:30 when I leave work, and when everyone's on the street. I've started categorizing and naming groups of people in London by how they walk. And I've not got the full list sorted yet, and this is probably going to be a feature on the website when I'm done.
Of course it will. You've got way too much time on your hands.
Well, it's I'm just getting, I get so mad at them. It's like, I need a name for these people. And so,
can you give us a snippet? I mean, if you could describe me and you last year when we went to London, how would you describe, what group would we fall into?
I don't think we were too bad, because
I think me and you are ruthlessly efficient when it comes to travelling.
Because we always have a purpose, and that leads me to group number one. Great segue.
Sorry, I'm just. We need like a slide reel or an old black and white film here.
And welcome to group number one.
We need some film reel sound effects.
Just some stock footage of people walking in London.
Ding 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 ding.
I've not come up with a proper term for them yet, but so far I'm calling them the indecision of tourists. And it's basically groups of people who have no fucking clue where they're going, so they stand in a big circle in the middle of the pavement and just get in your way because they have no idea which direction they need to be in, so they're just standing, being in everybody's way. So it's kind of like, you know, like a murder of crows. They're an indecision of tourists.
Yeah, we've coined terms like this before. The slaggle.
The slaggle. Oh, the famous slaggle, yes.
Yeah.
For Hindus.
For those of you who don't know, that is a gaggle of slags. because, let's be honest, if there is one way to describe a Hindu in York on a Saturday night in Lendal Cellars, it's a slaggle.
Yeah. And it's typically Hindus. You don't really see them non-Hindu slaggles very frequently.
No, it's always the Hindus that have got way too much makeup on. They're all drinking cheap pints, and you're just like, I'm going to get out of here before they do something horrific to me.
Kind of like the Woo girls in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, but the Woo girls are sort of like a cutesy kind of, these women will take you home, hold you down, and fuck you. It's like
no, in a nice way.
As a young man, you are going to be victimized. I suggest you leave.
You will lose any semblance of innocence you have left.
Thankfully, I've got a wedding ring on, which is like, you know, rebuffed. It's like, oh, isn't that sweet? You're married. It's like, yes. Now go and fuck my friend.
It's like an invisibility cloak. It's the one ring. You're wearing the one ring. That
leave
keeps
me. Yeah, it is. It is for women. Essentially, yeah. It's like, look. It's a one ring for women that I might at one point have been interested in, which. As a man, is every woman I ever meet. No, I'm joking.
you have that air of, you know, self-importance and, like, self-attributed confidence where she's just like, every woman you meet, they probably want to fuck you, is what you think. It's like, yeah, baby, why wouldn't you? Look at me. Look at this. Look what you could be taking
out tonight.
Look at
this blob. Look at this blob on legs. You love it. You wish you could touch this, but you can't. See this ring? I'm somebody else's bitch.
Just suddenly start clicking and like, oh yeah, baby. But group two, which I've come up with, and I'm really happy with this name because it was a name born out of sheer frustration, and I just wanted to shout it at them. And this is for the slowest of the slow-moving pedestrians. It's Trundlefuck. It's just like,
okay,
get out of my way, you Trundlefuck. And it's just like they don't move any. They move so slowly. And then I need to come up with names for like people who as you decide to overtake them, move in a diagonal pattern, thus blocking you without realizing. They annoy me so much.
Well, in all honesty, I used to get annoyed at those people, and then I realised they're just doing what we do, which is kind of dodging.
Mm. And then there's also the people who are not together in a group or walking together, but they walk two or three to a row at the same pace, thus creating a block where you can't. It's basically like if you're on the motorway and all three lanes are going exactly the same speed, it's like, hurry the fuck up, I want to get past you. Yeah, so I'll come up with a fully fledged list of names for these people, but that's a brief preview of what I've got so far.
Well, yep, okay, yep. Then moving on. So just as a notice that you'll be getting a whole lot of Steph and Mark conversations in the future. This is mainly due to poor timing on Simon's part. We have actually dispatched him to a secret mission to North Asia, where he will be slowly insinuating podcasts into the local populace in the hope that we will eventually lead some kind of horrible cultural revolution. You mean you'll see our faces on, you know, not like our actual faces, but those weird pop art faces we've got on the website on banners all the way across Asia in the future.
It's branded onto cattle.
Hmm. Anything you hear from him is us typing in his name, so even if he says he's not in Asia, he is. And if you listen to his other podcast, that's us as well.
I'll be really pissed off if Simon's gone, I'm sorry, I can't do your podcast for a month, I'm super busy, and he does his other podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, Simon? At least alternate weeks.
We all know where his allegiances lie.
Well, cause I know he's on both, and he edits both.
So he prefers one over the other. Yes, I know.
I was going to say, at least I could understand him giving up the editing rights to me for this podcast, but to like still continue doing his other podcast is just... And editing that podcast, when he said how much shit he has to do, is just fair.
Are you now annoyed at him in this entirely fake universe that you've just decided doing?
I've made up reasons to be annoyed at Simon now.
You're going to have to come up with a name for him.
What, like, to protect his identity, or...?
No, like, you've come up with the name of people that annoy you in London.
Oh, right. I mean, like, when people dream cheat on you, and then you get mad at them in real life.
I've never, ever gotten mad at anybody for dream cheating on me.
Well, I haven't, but it's a thing women do.
Is it, or is that just a thing media tell you? Because I've never met a woman that idiotic. Could be that I'm hanging out with a high caliber of woman. Let's be honest, but... Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
See, I just like roll over and kick Becky in the middle of the night, and then she's annoyed at me, so she has like proper reasons. None of this dream cheating. I'm dream faithful.
Dream faithful. All I do is dream about my girlfriend and chickens. That's
chickens. Yeah, chickens. Like me and her and Nando's is like the best thing ever.
In that fact, takes all my sexual buttons.
We
covered in chicken grease, holding a half a chicken.
Just yeah.
And in the other hand, some fries
and another chicken.
And then there's a thing between her legs that dispenses never-ending frozen yogurt.
I've been carrying around a whole chicken, like a 10-stamp Nando's card, for like 6 months now.
When you said I've been carrying around a whole chicken, I'm glad you clarified.
It's gone off a bit, but it still tastes good. But no, it's because I filled it up in like January or end of December, like, and it got to the point where I was like, they're gonna have to stop honouring this because it's like 7 months out of date. But they kept stamping it, and then instead of using it when it got to half chicken, I thought I've come this far. I'm gonna go for 10 stamps. I've hit 3. I've hit 6. I'm going for 10. And so I hit 10, and because they've moved to like apps and like Nando's style plastic cards now. So they put a little sticker on it saying redeem by 30th of June 2014 or you'll lose your whole chicken forever. I was like, fuck, alright, I've got 6 months to get a chicken. That's doable. And when we were in Edinburgh, we went into Nando's thinking we could redeem the chicken. It's like, right, we've been out the entire day, we're hungry, we're tired, we're just going to eat chicken now. And apparently Scotland does not honour Nando cards, and they never have done.
Scotland, the nation of Scotland does not honour Nando cards.
What the fuck, Scotland? And they've apparently always been on like the credit card system. I was like, fuck. All right, because he tried to peel it off.
Think someone has been lying to you.
I don't know because then I come back to London, and then like 3 weeks later, we go and we went to the cinema and we saw 22 Jump Street, and they were like, we should get some Nando's now, and we redeemed it and we got a whole chicken. It was good. It was very good, but that was my chicken story. So, not interesting in the slightest, but I finally redeemed a whole chicken. I cut it very fine. In fact, I think we ate it with like a week and a half left on the card. I was waiting for them not to to let me redeem it in Nando's. Just turn me away, and I had to like think on my feet and just, oh, could we just have a platter, please? But now I'm putting it in my memory box. It's like the time I carried around a Nando's card for 6 months.
I only go to Nando's once in a blue moon. It just doesn't appeal to me. I don't understand how you filled up an entire Nando's card.
It's taken me like 3 years to do it.
You live in London, one of the most cultural cities in the world, and you're eating at fucking Nando's.
Yeah, I've been to Nando's like...
I've
been four times in the last 9 months. I was gonna go like once, but no, it's been four times.
I can't argue that because it's.
of the 4 times in the last 9 months, none of them have been to get stamps on that card. They've all been like, I've just had like a quarter chicken, and that in fact, it's too far away now. But the
I didn't mean that you've only been to get the stamps on your card. I didn't realise they wouldn't stamp your card unless you reached a particular threshold of chicken eating.
Well, it's like, I didn't want to start a new card. I really want to just, like, spend this card, but, like, I never felt in the mood for whole chicken, like, by myself. So I kept putting it off. But it took me, like, 3-4 years to build up those 10 stamps. In the first place.
I love the fact that you're just going to Nando's and you're arguing with, like, well, I've not been in... Well, oh, yeah, I've been, like, 4 times.
Yeah, I go to Nando's way too much. It's quick chicken. What better...
Again, I reiterate, you live in one of the most cultural cities in the world. They have some of the best food in the country. I would give my left arm sometimes to eat in half the places that are in London. And yet you're eating fucking Nando's. How dare you? How dare you come onto this podcast and talk in my face about you eating at Nando's? You monster.
I'll have you know I've been to some nice food places. Not like non-Nando chain type restaurants.
Or Wagamama's.
Not Wagamama's, no.
Wagamama's or Yo Sushi.
No.
Oh, God. Anyway. I've come up with a list of things, places we need to go and eat when I come down to see you.
Oh yeah, go on. Where?
Oh no, I haven't got it on me. It's downstairs. Oh. But I will show you.
There's a very nice Italian restaurant not far from me called Valentino's. Yeah. Very, very good. And the guy there is like incredibly friendly. And like Becky and I went there for our. Was it our anniversary?
Anniversary? The actual anniversary?
Our actual anniversary. Yeah, I think it was. Might have been just before that. I can't remember now. But it was a little while ago. And because I booked, I'm glad I did, because I'm not one for planning ahead. which is just a terrible character flaw. But like as we sat there and the little Italian restaurant filled up, like, it was, like, people coming in, and, like, new people by name. It was like like, well, he greeted one guy and he said, "Oh yeah, you must like it so much because you were here yesterday." And the guy was like, "Yeah, it's awesome." And he just kind of sits all these people down. It gets really crowded. I'm like, "Thank fuck, I booked. It's like busy now." And it was really, really good food.
Places like that have a habit of, even if they are busy, they'll just have you in anyway. They'll find a table in the back, wipe it down, and just go, "Yeah, we can put them in."
I get the feeling they would have done that because the guy there was lovely, and we were really annoyed because by the time we were kind of forced like dessert down because it was like we should eat like dessert here as well because it's awesome. but yeah, by the time we were finished and ready to go, and we like left the money on the table, it's just like everyone had gone. They're like all at the back, like in the kitchen doing something. It's like, "Oh, we can't thank anyone for our meal." It's like, "Should we just hang around by the table for 5 minutes until someone comes back?" It's like, "Nah, it looks a bit awkward. Let's just go." But we really want to just like, I just want to shake the guy's hand. It's like, "Oh, you've been really lovely tonight." But no, yeah, we should maybe go there because that was really good. And also, Becky is she doesn't want to cook for you on the Friday night because she's afraid she can't live up to your standards. she explicitly said, like, if we're eating in, you're cooking for Steph, or because he's used to your cooking, or he can cook for all of us.
I do like the idea that I'm coming to you. He's like, "Yeah, thanks for putting me up."
Yeah,
I still need to put the train for that. Actually, fuck. All right,
now pay your way by cooking.
pay my way by cooking. You're lucky I'm down there.
But no, yeah, she's like, after the meals you've cooked for us, she's food intimidated by you.
They've not been that good. I don't know what she expects from me. Like, they're not that good. I'm not that good a cook.
Well, like the main other cook in her life is me. So
touche.
Yes.
Fair play. She's got bored of orange food then.
I cook many things beside orange food these days.
Sometimes yellow, sometimes brown.
Yeah.
But always cheese flavoured.
She's a big fan of cheese. I'm not going to not put cheese in
food. Big fan of cheese. That's the most redeeming quality I've ever heard a man describe his girl. Well, you know, my girlfriend, really big fan of cheese. Like a fine Stilton, a nice brie, or is it just like the cheddar family?
Nah, she comes home with a block of Wensleydale, and I'm like, "Oh, fuck me." That's...
that's the most erotic thing you've ever said.
It was £2 for £2, you got some Red Leicester too. Oh. Yeah, good sex
tonight. Come here,
tonight.
You beautiful girl, and bring the cheese with you. I want you to grate that all over me.
It's going to roll around in cheese shavings tonight.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, man. Right. Fucking cheese. Oh, God.
Anyway, to segue ever so slightly, I was going to bring this up the other week, but I think, yeah, because it would have been the last podcast we did. It was just the two of us, and we ended up talking about video games for the entirety. It didn't seem right to bring it up. And I hadn't properly read it, and I was just going to do like a dramatic reading off the cuff of it. But I've since had a chance to read it, digest it, read it through again, and take some notes. And I'm going to read you this pamphlet that came through my door about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, is this going to annoy me?
I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see how we go. It's only like an A5 folded in half, so it's not very big.
All right.
And these in like size 10 font, so we should get through these quite quickly. But the reason it caught my attention was on the front. Is a picture of a honeycomb and some bees, and in big red letters it says "Bees in danger." And I'm like, "All right, I like bees. You've got my attention."
On the whole, I'm a fan of bees.
They make honey. I like honey.
The reasoning in your mind. You have this discussion in your head on your own. Yeah, I'm a fan of bees. I can spare a few minutes to save the bees.
Because a lot of shit comes through my door. Because I live in a tower block, so it's the token like taxi cabs, cleaning service, 2-for-1 pizzas. And then this comes through, it's like, "Bees in danger." It's like, all right, I'm listening. What
you have me at bees.
You have me at bees. And then you really have me at danger. I want to know what's happening. Because it's like the people who stand outside tube stations. It's just like holding out the pamphlets going like, "What does God really think of you?" And he's just like, "I don't give a shit. But bees in danger right now I'm listening. All right, what are we talking about?" Bees in danger, obviously. So then I started to read it. And it's probably going to be as dramatic a reading as I had it planned, but I'm just going to read it and just point out a few things I noticed and I realized as I read through this. So obviously we started off big red letters, "Bees in danger." It's like a picture of some cute bees on the front sitting there on the honeycomb making Cadbury Crunchies or whatever they're doing in there. And the first paragraph is... first off, it starts off with a lovely picture of a bee.
We'll get back to that comment. I know you're just trying to rile me up.
I know.
Don't try and rile me up before you actually read the pamphlet, all right?
It does look like a cross-section of a Cadbury's Crunchy in one of the honeycomb hexes. And it's like, the middle of a crunchy covered in the chocolate is a honeycomb, so it's not so far-fetched. But inside is a nice little... they're not using the space effectively because it's a portrait picture and they could have really done with a landscape, but it's a bee hovering over a flower. And it's like, okay, it's all right. It looks a bit Photoshopped because the background just looks like, when you have those pictures of the family portraits and everyone's in that sort of super fake pose where, like, the dad's sitting down and then the mum's behind him, like, slightly askew with her hands on his shoulders and everyone's got that forced smile. And then little Jimmy's at the front, like, petting the dog and the dog's trying not to, like, lick his sister's arm or something like that. It's kind of like that background.
Okay.
So at first it's like, all right, so you kind of clearly photoshopped a picture of a bee. So you were actually outside, you took a picture of a bee over a flower, but the background of probably a field or another flower wasn't clearly good enough for this pamphlet that you're handing out about bees in danger. Okay. And it starts off, consumption of honey is good for health. I'm like, alright, that's a fair point. Learn from the bee is a counsel for the lazy. It's like, oh, okay, it's a bit heavy-handed, but we'll go with this. We will be surprised if we observe how the bee work. When the morning sun rises, they begin their work. The queen bee lays eggs, and soon they hatch, and a new generation is born. It is a pleasure to observe a honeycomb. The bees suck honey from flowers and fill their cells in the honeycomb. The bees work together, but every bee has its own work. It's like, okay, it's quite interesting, a bit of bee fact.
God, just keep reading.
How beautifully they make a house for 5,000 bees without consulting an architect, even though I'm probably sure there is a bee architect among them. But does anyone know that there is a danger hidden in the honeycomb? It's like, all right, now we're getting to the point. Bees are in danger. A small germ enters the body of one bee. Gradually, all the bees get infected by this. Thus, just because of one germ, the entire colony of bees dies. It's like, okay, this is quite serious now. It's like, you just have 5,000 bees in danger from one silly prick with some infection. Then this is where it twists, and like, this is like the M. Night Shyamalan moment. The same way sin entered mankind. Satan deceived man, who was made in the image of God, and made him sin. Eve saw that the fruit of the tree in the center of the Garden of Eden was beautiful and tasty. She forgot about God's command and ate it and gave it to Adam also. With that, sin entered human life. They violated God's commandment and came under the curse of the law. It's like, okay, this is Christian shit now. Okay, we got to the point. But then the next, this is where I started to get a bit interested, because the next paragraph really confused me, because it starts, nevertheless, the merciful God. They've just described him as a merciful God who previously cursed Adam and Eve for eating an apple. So
yeah, we'll get on to that in a minute.
Yeah. So the merciful God sent his only begotten son to earth to save man from the curse which he put on people. So really, he's cleaning up after his own fuck-ups. He was without sparing his son. He, without sparing his son, gave him to suffer death on a cross. So basically, God fucked up and cursed some people and then killed his son because he fucked up, is what I'm getting from this so far. And which really confused me, because I didn't think that's what Christianity was about. So he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and sat on the right side of the throne. So it's alright, Jesus is back where he belongs. He got back to heaven. It's alright, it's cool. Like, God fucked up, but Jesus is back. And we're back to the bees now. Like a germ that killed the entire colony of bees, when sin entered, man began his journey to hell. Jesus' death on the cross was all the scheme of salvation prepared by God. So it's all good then, basically. Like, Jesus came down, we're done. Like, that Satan sin's gone. Then here's a catch. Those who believe in this scheme for human redemption and Jesus Christ shall be saved and delivered from the slavery of sin. Whatever religion you may believe, or a community you belong to, Jesus Christ has died for your sins. So, Jesus has done you a solid, so you got to respect the man. Confess that Jesus died for you. He has forgiven my sins, and he lives for you today, and your shins. if you're a footballer and have regular shin-to-shin contact, then Jesus is the one for you. And he lives for you today, and your sins shall be forgiven. So, basically, it's saying, like, you could be any religion, but now you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Which is, you know, I don't think that's very good. God gives you the right to be called a child of God. Thus the sin that separated us from God has been removed by Jesus. So it's kind of saying that you're okay, but you have to believe in Jesus, but you're still kind of okay. And then it's kind of, they talk directly to you, so this, they twist it back again. Dear brother who read this, have you received Jesus as your saviour? If not, the germ of sin has been eating you up, and it's like, I didn't even know. It will finally reach you to hell. Receive Jesus now, which does sound a bit sexual, I'm not going to lie. Receive Jesus now itself and confess it. It is God's will that you should have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Remember, I mean, so, you know, God curses you, but it's like, I actually want you to live forever, so I'm a bit sorry about that. Remember what he, capital H, has done for you. Today, he is merciful, and but the fucker still cursed us. I'm ready to forgive you for your sins and cleanse you. But the day shall come when he will be revealed as a judge. So, you know, he's still a bit of a badass. So, props to God. Then there won't be any chance to be saved. This is the day of salvation. Receive Jesus, your Saviour and Lord, today itself. Say the simple prayer from your heart.
No, please don't read the prayer out. Right. I should buy into that.
Fair enough. All right, I'll skip to the last paragraph then. Yeah. Because the prayer is a bit bullshit anyway. Yeah. It's all about drinking his blood, which, I mean, that's how vampires started. I've just uncovered the greatest secret of all. You know, forget Dan Brown, it's vampires in the Christian church.
If there was a place to hide, it would be surrounded by Christian iconography.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely doesn't start burning their skin. So now you've said the prayer, which we haven't, so we've already tricked them. Try to find a church close which believe in apostolic doctrine, specifically Acts 2:38-42. So that's obviously the good bit. Also get yourself a Bible and read. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, we will donate one... I love this. This is probably my favourite bit of the entire bit. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, we will donate one Bible free to you, provided you're all out of cash. It's like, but if you've got like the £4 to buy a Bible, you know, fuck off and buy
one.
You're
on your own. Yeah. If you want a free Bible...
you have to be pretty hard up.
Yeah.
And then,
if you've got to prove how hard up you are, if you're not sleeping on the streets, you aren't getting this Bible.
Which you'd probably burn for warmth anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, borrow £5 and buy a Bible. And then the last bit is, dear friends, if you're worrying... And then it gets a bit strange again. If you're worrying about your health, so you just told me that sin is eating me up inside, and now I should be worried about my health, so I'm a bit paranoid. Financial problems, which you got to be pretty poor if you want that Bible in the first place, because I'm not going to pay £5 for a Bible and get a free one. Or anything else, give it all to Jesus. So Jesus wants your bad health and money problems. So it sounds kind of like one of those ads you see on like 12 o'clock on E4 in between episodes of Scrubs.
Yeah.
He will take care of your entire problem in one easily manageable monthly payment and set you free. He will never leave you or forsake you. This is the last words. This sounds like a proper like injury lawyer.
Sorry, I missed that. Were they asking you to pay them money to believe in Jesus?
No, I added that little bit.
Oh, sorry, that's fine. I got confused.
I was trying to spice it up. The last bit makes it sound proper shady. Because it says, just trust him, he is faithful. And that's it. And it's just like, alright, so you had me a bit like, because I never read like bullshit like that, but I was like, alright, I'm interested in bees. And then it just like, it turns into some Christian doctrine. And then it just gets really shady at the end about, you know, just like, don't worry, just trust Jesus. He's all good for you. He's gonna sort you out. He's gonna make you healthy. He's gonna take away all your money problems. And it's like, they are clear, and it kind of bummed me out in a way, because it's like they are so targeting, like, you know, the people who like are the ones who turn to it, and you know, it might be good for them, but it's they always prey on like the sick and the poor, is kind of bad in a way. And especially with that promise of a free Bible, it's like I'd be pretty poor if I can't pay £5 for a Bible, and it just kind of made me a bit sad in the end that I'd spent like 5 minutes reading this shit and it didn't really tell me about the bees.
I'm gonna be honest with you right now. I'm sad that you've read it. I'm sad that you've read it first and then decided to come and read it to me and our assembled 4 listeners. I'm upset that you've wasted both of our times and the 4 listeners' times with that.
To be fair,
devil.
This is like episode 75. They're wasted a lot of their time already if they're listening to this.
Be that as it may.
But guys. Like, I wanted some closure on the B story, to be honest, and it didn't really give me that. but it's, look, the thing that got me most is that it's all about, you know, God's put a curse on you, and then he kills his own son because he fucked up, and now we're meant to like bind to this whole thing that God's awesome. It's like, you know, if I put a curse on you, then sacrifice my child to make it all better.
I mean, do you know much of the Christian doctrine? I'm just asking, all right? Before you go on to this, I just want some closure.
I know what I was taught in RE.
Okay, carry on.
About as far as it went. But it's just like, I don't know what, like, if some bloke put a curse on me and then sacrificed their child, I probably wouldn't trust them. But that's just me.
Well, I'm glad we've got to the end of that.
And that's Mark's weekly Christianity feature kicking off its inaugural episode today, titled Bees in Danger.
I'm going to say, if you do this again, I don't care what happens. I will drive down to London and punch you in the head.
Well, yeah, but if next week I get one through that says, like, Chaffinch is in jeopardy, I'm like, I'm going to
burn
read it.
Oh, God. Just the most sanctimonious drivel. Honestly. I mean, look, faith is good for some people.
It is. Yeah.
That's what you need to wake up and get through the day. Good. You know, some people turn to alcohol or drugs. I'd rather faith is probably a much more positive thing, but yeah, that
I think, well, I was just more annoyed the Christians tricked me into reading it.
That's how they get you. It's not like those honest Jews, it's those shady Christians you need to be watching out for. And God, don't get me started on the Buddhists.
Yeah, they're so zen though. They're like,
yeah, they cool. Work their way into your dreams through Nirvana.
Product placement in your dreams.
Not Nirvana, the state of mind. Just, Nirvana, the grunge band from the '90s.
If you suddenly start dreaming of Kurt Cobain, then you know you've got a calling from Buddha. It's actually a Hindi chant.
Yeah.
If you hike the Himalayas, you'll often hear the Buddhist monks chanting in Nirvana.
Yeah. All right. Oh God. Well, look. Do you want to learn? Do you want to know more about bees? I can tell you about bees if you want.
Oh, I forgot you did your project on bees, didn't you?
No, I didn't do it. I did my project on parasitic wasps.
Ah, what?
I can tell you about more about parasitic wasps.
Well, I know they all died, and you had to rewrite your thesis.
Yeah, well, that was well. we don't talk about that.
The fridge fucked up, so yeah. Now is a different essay.
I didn't get nearly the same number of results that I'd liked, and had to do a cost analysis instead. But anyway, I digress.
Keep your samples in two separate fridges in two separate buildings.
Thank you. Well, yeah, that's what we do now. That's what the fucking professionals do. They have secured cabinets that only one person can get into, not some schmucky university. Well, I don't know if there's much more to add to that. I mean, obviously it's crap. You know that. Most people listening know that. I do like that they said, now you said this prayer, and now that everybody knows that Jesus is in your hearts, find this particular type of church.
Yeah. It has to be apostolic doctrine, specifically, and we put in parentheses the acts you must read, and it's only like four acts, so you think it's, you know, this is very specific Christianity that you're getting into, not like that broad, you know, Catholic shit.
God, it's so mainstream.
So yeah, this is basically hipster Christians, isn't it? So,
hipster,
oh man,
Christians.
Oh man, bees are dying, but you know, read this.
But read the Bibly.
Read the Bibly.
Read the Holy Bibly. Oh my God. I don't know.
Let's talk about something more interesting and fun.
Well, along that topic, I did find, I was driving home the other day, because as you know, we'll talk about this in a second, the Tour de France is coming to England.
Yes!
And I work in Harrogate. And on my way home from Harrogate, I drove by and there were some signs up. I said, Tour de France, great. No, there were signs for an open garden. I was like, okay, that's interesting. It's like, open garden, drinks, food, free Bible. I was like, what the fuck? How desperately does someone need a Bible?
So obviously the people who don't want to, you know, who can't get it through this free, this dead bees thing that I've got. Who are like,
they
I'm going to drive to Harrogate.
Bee newsletter.
Like, get your monthly bee fact and prayer. Drive to Harrogate.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of that was B fact.
It's like their Bible tip of the week is drive to Harrogate for one free Bible and a garden tour.
So, yes, the Tour de France is here this week, and this will date the podcast significantly because we're quite far behind. But anyway...
But it's not like we were an evergreen podcast to begin with anyway.
No, we didn't even attempt to be, because let's be honest, the three of us, quite lazy. Even the ones with a good work ethic, very lazy people. I know how I spent my weekend, and it was playing Netrunner with you online.
far too much of that.
Way, 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 way too much. Well, my wife did pretty much everything else.
See, I have the excuse that my girlfriend was away, and it's just like, meh.
Mine was outside. That's sort of away. She wasn't in the way, so... Anyway, yeah, so pretty much the entirety of the north is closing, which is odd.
Considering it's the Tour de France, not the Tour de York.
Well, no, I mean, like they have an England stage.
I know.
I mean, I don't know if you're aware of the Tour de France. I'm not particularly picking at you. I'm just saying for the explanation for other people, because there have been genuinely people going, "Well, the Tour de France, where are they in England?" Smarm, smarm, wanker, wanker. And to which I point out, well, there is always an England stage because it's a different climate and a different kind of area. But anyway, one of the things that they've done is that today they have the welcoming ceremony in Leeds. I don't know if you've seen this.
I saw, when I worked in Leeds a year ago, I saw there were huge signs about the Tour de France in Yorkshire around where I worked. So I've been aware of its Leeds-basedness for
a while.
Well,
the thing is, it's I don't actually think it's ending in Leeds. There's just the welcoming ceremony today. I think it starts in Leeds on... not Saturday, unless it starts tomorrow. I can't remember when it starts. I'm not that hot on local...
On competitive cycling in Yorkshire.
Yeah, no, I'm not. But anyway, the thing that they have done, which I found fucking hilarious, and thought, I'm glad Mark doesn't live up here, because he would be a fucking nightmare to talk to this evening, is that they have shut nearly every main road in the centre of Leeds.
Oh, Jesus.
You know how much notice they gave them?
None.
Last night.
Oh, my God.
People at work today going ballistic. I'm like, well, yeah. I'm finishing really early tomorrow, thankfully, so I can avoid the fucking traffic. But I've got family commit this weekend to watch it because my uncle Paul is a huge cycling fan, and he can come and crash with us, and we can go out for dinner, but probably not. But yeah, it should be a nice one. I found it very, very funny, and also the fact that the route they're taking out of York on Sunday, goes past the Minster and towards the A59. The A59 currently has a roundabout on it that is covered in roadworks. I wouldn't want to walk on the surface that has been there for the last 2-3 months. Amazingly, overnight, they appear to have done the work that took them about 6 months to complete. It's phenomenal. I was like, oh, it's open. This is nice. Maybe tomorrow it'll be even more open.
At least, if I was still working in Leeds... Well, actually, no, I don't know if I'd have stayed in the same flat, but I would have walked to work, so it wouldn't have affected me greatly, I don't think.
No, but it's still ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're saying that I did go through a phase of just driving in, even though I only lived, like, 3 miles away. I was one of those people. It's just like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to drive today. And then it'd take me as long to drive in as it would to walk because of traffic.
Yeah, at least now you've got a good commuting system.
Yeah, it's true. Although probably moving in the next few months anyway, because this place is far too expensive
And small,
and very small. And you'll get to see how small it is for yourself in a month.
Can you
or
not
so.
Move before that
to accommodate you? No, you unfortunately have to have the sofa. For
God damn it!
Purely because I'll probably be taking time off in October to move, so going to use up my my last allowance of holiday time to move as I usually do, so that'll be what I do.
So where are you thinking of going?
I don't know. It needs to be some. Well, if it was Becky's decision, it would be York. but unfortunately, that would make my commute quite long, and also hers to her new school. But it, well, it just has to be somewhere where I can get train or tube quite easily to Soho, and somewhere where it's easy enough for Becky to drive to her school, really. That's we're looking for that golden spot in the Venn diagram, really.
So
commutable for both of us, and affordable. So yes, with a three overlap.
Good. Seriously, good luck with that.
I know.
One of them's going to have to give in.
We'll see. I've got a few ideas, but I mean, I just know how it's feasible for me. I don't know how feasible it is for Becky if we move to these places. But yeah,
Muswell Hill.
Just move to Soho. Done.
Or you just go to, like, you know, Maidenhead or somewhere. Just go really far out.
Super far. And I can just tweak my hours so I come in for like 7 a.m.
Well, you're quite far out now, thinking about it.
Yeah, it's about, well, I can do it in sometimes about 35 minutes if I get a good connection at Euston, but it's about, you know, maybe 45 minutes, 50 minutes door to door, which isn't that bad, really.
Well, it takes me an hour each day, so, you know.
Yeah. It's quite doable to say it's one tube. I don't have to really fanny around with too much usually, but no, it's that's the next stress is going to be moving everything and probably having to hire removal men or rely on my brother's good nature to help us out again. But we'll see how we go.
Cause well, you know, that's what family's there to be imposed upon.
The bright side is there'd be at least a second, maybe even a third bedroom for him to stay in, so he wouldn't have to keep on the sofa again during the moving period, like he did when he helped me move to London in the first place. But yeah, that's the next joy that I've got to start looking at before too long. But it's alright, because I probably mentioned it at the time. I think it was I know which episode it is, purely for the name. Because it was episode 40, it was Bad Omen Fridge. Because that was the one where I talked about moving, coming down to London to look at flats. And I mentioned Nestoria being actually an awesome website to use at the time.
Yeah.
And then when Simon, I don't think this came up, but when Simon was moving to Manchester, slash specific area redacted, he said...
Asia.
To Asia, yeah. He said, is there anything I should be wary of? And I just texted him back and just said, Bad Omen Fridge. And that was it. It's like, that's the only thing you need to look for. It's a Bad Omen Fridge. And he was like, oh, fair point. So that was the only advice he gave him, really. Just like, if because it really is. If there's one shitty, out-of-place thing, then that's the false promise the rest of the flat's going to be built on.
Then there will be more shitty, out-of-place things.
Like I mentioned on the episode, it was an unfurnished place. The only kind of furnishing that was there was a fridge. And for a start, it was in the living room because there wasn't enough space in the kitchen. And secondly, it was the shittiest fridge ever. And it's like, oh yeah, it'll be furnished by the time you move in. It's like, thinking to myself, this is already a really shitty flat in a really shitty area. It's basically a house that's been divided in two. I don't trust your decor based on the fridge that currently lives here, so I'm going to pass, I think. But it was one of those awkward things, like trying to be polite and be like, oh yeah, it's quite nice. It's very lived in. A.K.A. crack den. But no, yeah, so I've moved so many times now, it's like second nature. It's like I can just stand in a flat and be like, yeah, I could live here, or be like, oh, this isn't going to work. Because I think I only looked at two places when I moved the second time in Leeds. And they were both in the same block of flats, the same complex. And I looked, still kind of standing on the first one, thinking it's a bit shitty. And then I went upstairs to the next one. It's like, actually, yeah, I want to move into this one. can we sign for this? Because I was like after the first moving to Leeds initially, it was just a right ball ache having to look for flats and stuff. And I just finally just snapped and signed for one. Like, I know what I want now. I know exactly what I need to function to live. Like, because you saw my first place and. Oh, you saw my second place too. Yeah, but just like the kitchen in my first.
I saw all the places.
You've seen all of the places, but the kitchen in my first one was terrible. And
the second place was really nice.
I know. I'm good at. I had to leave, but you know, duty called.
I just moved back up.
I would like to. I wouldn't mind living back in Yorkshire, but it's unfortunately my job is here. So unless there's a Sony branch, so
it's like a Rockstar.
Rockstar. Yeah, move to Rockstar Leeds and make. Yeah. Whatever parts of GTA they make, probably like the, you know, the grass physics.
Yeah, the ball physics for the golf minigame.
Yeah.
Are you looking for a house or are you looking for a flat or what?
I think we're going to look for a smallish house to, well, if what I'm knowledgeable from Leeds is true to London, then a three-bedroom house, like a small three-bedroom house, will probably be at the same cost as a small two-bedroom house. I don't know, though, because I hadn't looked at houses previously. But
I assume you're renting as well.
We're going to rent for like another year or two before we finally settled into, right, this is like, Becky's happy in her school and I'm, you know, it's really
still with Sony.
Still with, yeah. I'm not like planning on leaving anytime soon. It's an awesome job. I get to see so much cool shit, and I've known about certain games for a very long time the public still doesn't know about, and I count myself as very pretty. Like, even on my first day, they, like, my line manager just nonchalantly into the conversation mentioned about one of the games that was coming up. I was like, should I know about this? It's my first day. I'm not sure I should be trusted with this information yet.
Holy hell. Have you seen prices?
I haven't even looked. But
They're abusive.
Well, we'll be living very far out of the city centre then.
Okay, so I'll... So not within 20 miles then?
Zone 9?
All right then.
We'll just live at Heathrow.
Let's do 40 miles and see what happens.
Jeez.
Yeah, you're still... Whoa, that's $3,000 per month.
Wow.
$4,000... Jesus! All right. SW18?
That's your problem, you're in the south. You want to look to the north?
That's what I'm looking for! Anyway, sorry. I'm trying to help.
That's alright. We reached a section of the podcast where you eat interesting things and describe them.
I'm eating pizza and hummus. With rocket and watercress. It's good.
Yeah.
Now carry on.
You're eating has thrown me, considering you've been really quiet for the last hour. So either you've got a very cold pizza.
I've been
in front
listening
of you,
to you.
We've been muting and chewing.
I've been quiet for the last hour because you're reading a fucking religious pamphlet and then you were talking about London.
That's true. I can finally bin this bees in danger shit. I've read it. It's been on my desk for 2 weeks.
I've read it 20 times. I took notes.
Yeah, I did. I wrote a few notes on it, just thinking, I really want to bring this bit up. Really want to point, like, underline some passages, like suffer death. But now I can get rid of that. I'm tired of seeing pictures of sad-looking bees.
Oh, these bees are so depressed. Oh man. Well, anyway. This has certainly been educational.
It has.
Except about bees.
Which we learn nothing about. Yeah. Other than bees serve as an allegory for religion.
Well, that's Game, Set and Match for the Can Laughter podcast. Hitting the showers is Mark.
Whoever's singing, can you please shut up? You're making an awful racket!
And remaining cheerfully positive and saying that his career is still going forward despite losing in the quarterfinals to an unknown is me, Stefan. Thanks for listening, and if you would like to leave some feedback on iTunes, that'd be great. Thanks, bye.
Yeah. Or not, free will.
Right, well, this isn't podcasting, yeah. This is talking. Let's talk while we podcast.
Yes. Intro size.
Can we put some tennis music on? I don't know.
Da, 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 tennis. Hitting balls in tennis.
Moving on.
I almost started Ski Sunday.
Yeah, I said tennis music and I was instantly going, that's the Ski Sunday.
It's like, no, fuck no, it's Ski Sunday!
It's the only sporting theme tune I know. What's match of the day? Ski Sunday.